wanted to come over and pick him up on that last note. Amen. All right. Saved forever, he is mine. What a tremendous song. Tremendous principle. If you would, in your Bibles, turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. Book of Daniel, chapter 6, and we're continuing our series of messages on heroes of the faith. And we're pointing out, of course, where those heroes in particular stood firm in their faith. And Daniel's an easy one. And I don't know that I have specifically, in a long time, I went back and looked through my messages, specifically preached on Daniel, and haven't preached on Daniel very often. So it's a tremendous, tremendous book of the Bible. It is, I would consider it the best and most important prophetical book in the Old Testament. Daniel was an amazing prophet of God, and God used him in a mighty, mighty way. In fact, it's one of those books that is so precise in its prophecies that many of the skeptics today and in past centuries have said, well, the book of Daniel, there's no way that Daniel wrote this book, that it had to be written after the fact of the prophecies have already been fulfilled. Somebody went back and just wrote about it. But that's not true. We know that's not true. God used Daniel, wrote this book, and Daniel wrote some specific prophecies that, again, are just amazing. But that is not what we're preaching about tonight, and maybe next Wednesday night or whenever we get a chance again to preach on Daniel. I'm at least probably going to preach on him twice. Our intent is not to preach about what he said, but more of what he was and what he did, and what he did concerning his character. And it's again, in that day and age, Daniel would have been about 18 when, or 18 to 20 years of age when he was carried into captivity by King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. The Babylonians had taken over the superpower of that day from the Assyrians. King Nebuchadnezzar took his army, went down into Egypt and defeated the Egyptian army, defeated Pharaoh. And on his return trip back to Babylon, he just stopped off at Jerusalem and defeated it at the same time. And he took all the wealth of the temple, all the fixtures and furniture and all the gold, the bowls, the golden bowls, all the precious things of the temple. And then he took many of the young men who were princes and those of nobility, those who were intelligent, and he took them with him back to Babylon. And Daniel was one of those who he took captive back to Babylon. And I'm not going to go back. We're not going to read it tonight. We're actually going to start from the back of Daniel's life, the end of Daniel's life, and work our way backwards. Is that all right? And so at the beginning of the book of Daniel, you see him carried into captivity by King Nebuchadnezzar, by the Babylonians, and put in the University of Babylon. And there they were trained. And there they were schooled. And there they were, the attempt was made to immerse them in Babylonian culture so that they would mix in and become a part of Babylon and its culture. Well, for a few of them, that didn't work. And Daniel was the one, as well as his three friends for sure, who did not succumb to the Babylonian influence and all the food and all the fun and all the fortune that was available. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. But they stood their ground, and they stood firm in the faith. And that was at the beginning of his life. I was told by Brother Jason Pugh today, I was talking to him, and he mentioned that he had been watching the series on TV, that they've written a new series on the Bible. I think A&E or the History Channel 1. And he said he happened to watch the section of the part where they showed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being asked to bow down to the idol. That is, you can go read about it in Daniel. And it says, he's told me that in the show, it shows Daniel telling them to go ahead and bow. Well, that's absolutely false. In fact, you know where in the account do you find Daniel at that event? And there is no way, no how that Daniel would have had any part in asking Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to bow down to those idols. You say, well, where was he at? No telling. He was one of the presidents. He was out and about. And secondly, if Daniel started out at the age of 18 not bowing to no one, and now we're going to see him at age 80 bowing down to no one, why would he do it in between? There's no way. You've got to be really careful the stuff you watch on TV. And I don't care if it's, you know, Joel Osteen and T.D. Jakes and Rick Warren, where they're spiritual advisors. That's like, anyway, those aren't spiritual advisors. And I mean that kindly as I can. But it's absolutely false. That is not Daniel, and you can see it throughout his life. In fact, of all the prophets, we have more about Daniel than anyone else. Again, if you haven't read the book of Daniel lately, it'd be a real blessing to you. So there's a little background. Let's read just a little bit of it. Look at Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. And we need to hurry. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, what writing? The writing, they've tried to find Daniel. Daniel was put over as a president, as one of the three presidents there of the province there in the Medes and the Persians. God had raised him back to that estate. He had gone through a period of time where Daniel really was kind of set aside. And then from time to time, you see him back as a leader, depending on who's ruling and who's reigning at the time. And that's another interesting study of how many kings Daniel went through. There's about 7-8 of them that Daniel outlived of all these kings. So now we see him come to prominence again. He's in his late 70s, early 80s, maybe even mid-80s. He's up in years, but God continues to bless him. So because of his position, they sought accusations. Others sought accusations against him and tried to find fault against him. And the Bible says they could find no fault against him. And what a testimony. What a testimony. And so the only thing they could find is that he was very, very loyal to his God. And so they went to the king, King Darius, and they said to King Darius, why don't you make a decree that no one can bow or no one can pray to any other god except you in the next 30 days? And of course, it got to Darius's pride, and the prideful king signed the document. And so Daniel knew this. Daniel knew the document had been signed. But that's where we pick up the story. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, this new law had been signed into and put into effect, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did what? Aforetime, just like he had done before. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God, and then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree which thou hast signed, but maketh his petitions 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with what? With Daniel? No. He was displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. What a testimony of Daniel, that even the king understood how powerful Daniel's God was. And a stone was brought and laid, verse 17, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. And then the king rose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? And what an answer. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. You can just see the king. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him in innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found. This is important now. If you want to underline any part, underline this part. And no manner of hurt was found upon him. Because what? He believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the den. In other words, it didn't even hit the bottom before they were eaten. What a story. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this tremendous account that we find in the Scripture. We pray that we would again make application to our own lives through the life of Daniel. We ask this in your name. Amen. Daniel, now in his early 80s, late 70s, is still putting his trust in the God that he served. This is Jehovah God, the self-existent one. We must understand, and we know this today, that society would have us to believe that we should put our trust in other things. And if you put your trust in God, they say you're crazy. Or they'll say things like, you're just unenlightened. You haven't reached enlightenment. You're just crazy. We're called fanatics and other things. If you put your trust in God, you're just stupid. No one believes that anymore. No one practices that anymore. That's their loss. Amen. Daniel put his trust in the Lord. Again, the society would say that we should put our trust in science and put our trust, boy, just a huge push, even today, of putting trust upon yourself. No, just put your trust in self. Put your trust in humanity. That humanity will reach and continue to evolve and get better and better and better and better. Yeah, right. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. We're not evolving. We're devolving. I'm talking about human society or society as a whole. It's called humanism. We shouldn't put our trust in ourselves. Some say, well, we should put our trust in, you know, the security of things. In other words, put your trust in some government or trust here or trust there. Whatever would give you security. And trust in things that will, you know, keep you safe. Well, nothing can keep you safe. Right? Daniel trusted in God. And by the way, the God that Daniel serves is the same God we serve today. God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And just as God saved Daniel, he can save us. He and he alone can be trusted. Daniel had faith in God. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but you see, in his time, Judaism was an old truth. In Daniel's day, Judaism had been set aside for the most part. And Daniel was just serving God as he knew he was supposed to and continuing to follow the old paths, the old truth. He was standing firm in the faith, in his faith. His faith in who? Faith in God. And at that time, in Judaism, in the practice of the law. As we think about Daniel, we think about a faith that he had, a heartfelt faith, not just something he assented to intellectually, but something he believed. And we know that because he practiced it. again, as we think about scriptures, we may believe a lot of things, or we may know a lot of things. I'm sorry, we may know a lot of things. We may know a lot of truth. Many of us maybe who've been raised in church know the Bible, but we only believe what we practice. And Daniel was not just one who knew the Bible, but he practiced it. He believed, he trusted in the Lord. It was more than just a head knowledge, but it was something, again, a belief that had touched his very heart. Again, believe means living in dependence upon. It means I'm putting my trust in someone else. I'm living in dependence upon who? Daniel lived as if, and he was, dependent upon the Lord. Dependent upon Him. As we think about belief, we think about believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing on the Lord. That means we're dependent upon Him. We're dependent upon Him for salvation. We're totally dependent upon Jesus Christ for salvation. We're dependent on Him not only for salvation, but for our supply and our provisions to preserve us, to keep us. We are trusting and believing in Him, and not only to do those things, but to vindicate us. Listen, our Bible says, and Jesus says, that we're to love our enemies. We're to pray for our enemies. And that we are to allow God and depend upon God to take care of those who misuse us. In fact, the Bible says, for we're to pray for those who despitefully use us. And that we're allowed God to take care. That we're not to seek revenge. We're dependent upon God for that. We trust in that truth. We believe in God that He will fight for us. As David prayed many, many times for the Lord to take care of his adversaries. We're dependent upon God for forgiveness. As I said Sunday, also to forget. I'm so glad He forgives and He forgets. We're totally dependent. Daniel believed God. He believed. He trusted Him. He totally believed. He totally trusted Him with everything that he had. There wasn't any doubt. I don't know about you, but if I was being thrown into a den of lions, I better know my stuff. I better believe it. And Daniel absolutely believed it. I believe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego believed the words of God. They believed in Jehovah God. Daniel was a man of faith. He believed in God. He had a clear faith. He knew what he believed. By the way, he knew why he believed it. He knew why he believed it. I want to encourage you again that every Christian ought to know what they believe and then also know why. And if someone ever asks you a question, well, why do you believe that? And you don't have the answer, go find out. Don't say, because my church believes that. Or my preacher believes that. Find the Bible answer. Amen? Daniel believed and he understood why he believed. Again, Judaism of that day had been muddled. It had been mixed in with superstition and idol worship. In other words, Judaism at that point had been mixed in with all the other pagan religions around it. I'm sorry. All the pagan religions around it. Not all other. Judaism's not pagan. All right? All the religions around it. I mean, it was mixed in with Babylonian, idolatry, and now it was mixed in with the Medo-Persians. And But Daniel was clear as to what he believed. I would tell you today that Christianity has been mixed in with so many other things, so many other beliefs, many, many man-made beliefs, whether it's belief that you can pray to some idol or some saint or go into some telephone booth and ask some man to forgive you of your sins, or to the other extreme where, you're a God, I'm a God, we're all gods, and here we go. The humanistic side of things. It's the pantheism that is running rampant. It's Eastern mysticism. And my goal tonight is not to go through all this, but just understand and we know that Christianity has been muddled in most churches today. It is not, and they are not practicing the pure word. But Daniel was able to stand firm in the faith, not by looking at those around him, but by believing in the Bible, believing in the Lord, believing in the book, experiencing not only reading the Bible or the scrolls at that time, but also the experiences he had. I'm glad I can look back in my life and say, I know God did that. I know the Lord did that. I not only have read the Bible and try to practice the Bible, but I've experienced many of the principles in my own life and felt many times God's presence. No doubt Daniel had experienced these things from the very beginning. From the time he was carried into captivity, he had experienced God's presence. He had experienced God's voice. He had experienced visions from God. And though the Bible says that God at sundry time in a diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. And though signs and visions and wonders are no longer a part of God's plan for today, as he spoke to Daniel through visions and wonders and signs, but he's now spoken to us by his word. And we can rely upon the word of God. J.C. Baxter said this. He said, we should know it in our head. Talking about the Bible. We should know it in our head, stow it in our hearts, show it in our lives, and sow it in the world. I like that one. I'll write that one down. Daniel had clarity as to what his belief, clarity as to his faith. Number two, Daniel not only was that, but he was also loyal to his faith. In other words, the faith of that time, the faith that he practiced was unpopular. Was unpopular. You say, well, Christianity is popular today. Not real Christianity. Not the one that prays in Jesus' name. Not the one that still preaches that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Virgin born. Right? Not the ones that preach that the Bible is the inspired and errant Word of God. And especially churches and Christianity that preach that Christians should still live separated lives. That's not popular at all. You know, if a preacher gets up and says, you know, you shouldn't go to a bar, that's not popular. Just because the Bible says not to look upon wine when it turns red. Well, preacher, you just, you know, whatever. You can read in the Bible all you want. But Sam Jones and Billy Sunday and D.L. Moody and on and on and on, the temperance movement was based upon the Bible when they got the law passed of no alcohol in the United States. Listen, that type of preaching is unpopular. You could preach that style of preaching that never raises its voice, and the style of preaching that only, it's like laying down on a psychology couch and getting, you know, the type of preaching that's just motivational. Come on, they buy his books by the millions. He even says he doesn't preach against sin because it's not popular. I'm telling you, that's the age, the kind of church, the kind of preaching that's found here and is found in Victory Baptist Church in Weatherford and Worth Baptist Church in Fort Worth and many other churches here in the Metroplex. And even some, we know there's some good Southern Baptist churches and others, even some good Bible churches that are still preaching the truth, but those are not the most popular. And many of those are using other means to get people in. Some of them are still preaching the truth, but they're not, they're having to put on a light show to get people in. I'd be very surprised if you shut down the music in a lot of these churches, how many people would really show up. What we believe is unpopular. Daniel lived in a day in which what he believed was unpopular. Many were disloyal to the old standard. Many were disloyal. Many had gone back. Israel had been disloyal to God, and therefore chaos had ensued. The northern kingdom had been carried off into captivity. The southern kingdom now carried off into captivity. Can I tell you tonight, America's in the same boat? America's in the same boat. Disloyalty to God. Disloyalty to God. And now America's in trouble. Mark it down. It's still the greatest country on earth, no doubt. Amen? But we do see that slide taking place. No one seems to stand. No one seems to stand. We think about figures in America today who are in political leadership. I've been reading several different books here of late and just enjoy reading some of the accounts of political leaders of the past who not only led politically, but they led in the area spiritually as well. They stood up for what's right from Lincoln on down. And would to God we have some political leaders today who would stand up. And even in the spiritual realm, we know government's not the hope of America. Jesus Christ is the hope of America. But it'd be nice for some political politicians who call themselves Christians to actually practice it. I would venture to guess the majority of those up in Washington would claim to be Christians, but they are not practicing it. Daniel stood firm. He was loyal. Not only was he clear about what he believed and clear about what the Bible had to say, because he was clear because he practiced and read the Bible, but he also was loyal to the faith. He stood firm. He stood with it. Again, as Christians, we ought to stand firm in the faith. Not just on Sunday and Wednesday nights, but throughout the week. It's going to work, and it's going to fish. It's going to the golf course. It's going to these places and living the Christian life. Living the Christian life. Talking as Jesus would talk. Right? Going where Jesus would go. Being kind as Jesus would be kind. All right. We'll move on. Just be a disciple of Christ. Be a genuine Christian. Be a true follower. Be loyal as Daniel was loyal. Get clear about what you believe. If you're clear about what you believe, you can be loyal. You can be loyal. Number three, Daniel was also resolute. He was fixed. He was fixed. Despite the king's decree, he stood firm. The lion's den was real. In fact, archaeologists have gone back. They know in this area of the country that they had, many cities had these dens of lions that they threw people in. It was proven. This is real stuff. Daniel was not deterred by the den of lions. Daniel was not deterred. Why? Because he believed God. He was not deterred. We think about so many who gave their lives during the Dark Ages, during that period of just between 500 and around 1,000, 1,500. It's amazing that 1,000 years, how many, 50 million, it is believed that 50 million Christians were martyred during that time for what they believed. We brag about America, but even when America was established, there were many in America who were killed for what they believed. We need to realize that Daniel faced death, but he realized that death was better than compromise. The story is told about a preacher whose name was Dr. Nomeler, and I can't pronounce his name very well, but Dr. Nomeler. In World War II, he was a preacher in Germany, and of course, his preaching was unpopular. He believed the Bible. He believed the Bible just as it was. He had not given in to German rationalism and all the other things that were going around. And Dr. Nomeler was imprisoned for what he believed. And what's hilarious is, and this was documented, that there was a chaplain in the prison. And the chaplain came to Dr. Nomeler and asked the question, "Why are you in prison?" Dr. Nomeler's response is, "Why are you not in prison?" Love that. Love it. He must stand firm in the faith. Daniel, not only was he clear about what he believed, he was clear and therefore loyal and resolute, but Daniel was certain. He believed God. He was certain that God had a plan for his life. And whether by life or by death, God had a plan. He was not a mere professor of his belief, but a possessor. And his life proved it. Can we say that? Jesus is my Savior. I shall not be moved. Amen? He has a plan for everything that comes into our life. No matter the circumstances, we understand that Christ is in control. I'm having to go on here. As we think about Daniel, that he stood firm because he had faith in God. Because he understood. He was very clear. He understood what he believed. Why he believed it. He was very loyal to the Lord. He was very resolute, fixed. He wasn't budging. because he was certain about the truths and about the things of God. I hope that you are as well. Secondly, God cared for Daniel. Think about this for a moment. God cared for Daniel. He did a miracle for Daniel. The Bible says that an angel shut the lion's mouth. What a testimony it is to the loving God that we serve that he shut the lion's mouth. I think about that for a moment and what Daniel's testimony meant to those in that day and age. We understand that God did not save him from the lion's den, but saved him in it. God does not save us from, but he saves us in and brings us through. So many people pray for God to remove the trials in their life. And many times that's not how God works. That's not how God works. But God saves us. God does not save us from, but he saves us in and brings us through the trial. We think about the testimony Daniel was. He was kept by God. And what was the consequences? Look back at Daniel chapter 6 and we're done. Verse 25. What were the consequences of Daniel's loyalty? What was the consequences of Daniel understanding clearly what he believed? What was the consequence of Daniel being resolute and being loyal and certain? Well, it was that God performed a miracle for him. And I told you tonight, Morgan, whomever it may be, God can perform a miracle. And though we know that God doesn't do outward signs today and God is not necessarily and will not use specifically a person. We were on Facebook here a while back and someone we know said that he laid a hand on somebody and they were healed. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. It's not biblical. You don't have any power. Amen. We can pray for someone. We can pray for someone as a church and God can do what he does, but your touch doesn't have any power. No. That was done away when the apostles went away. That was done when the word of God was completed. Those special outward signs were done away with. The Bible says when that which is perfect to come, that which is in part will be done away with. The perfect is not talking about Jesus, it's talking about the word of God. The word of God was completed in about 95 AD. All those special signs and wonders stop. They're done. Does not mean God stopped performing miracles. He's just not going to use my hand or your hand. He's going to touch them. We pray for God to do a miracle. And God did a miracle with Daniel. He can do that for you. God cared for Daniel because he had faith in God. God, because of that, the consequences of that was that God did a miracle for him. The consequences of that was that the testimony of Daniel to those around. And lastly, look at verse 25, chapter 6. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So then Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Darius was the king of the Medes. What happened? What was the consequences? God was glorified. And isn't that the purpose of our life? That the Lord be glorified? Really begin to push that with our children more. That their purpose in life is to glorify the Lord. And as Christians, our purpose is to glorify the Lord. Amen. Let's all stand.